This issue is important enough that I, as chairman, will not permit it to be railroaded through without thorough discussion. It was the consensus of the body that we should have a treasurer's report, at least a report from the auditors as to the status of the organization before we voted on it. So while the secretary is passing out copies, I will once again read the resolution. Resolved that all debts, obligations, rights, and privileges of the Alaska Federation of Natives, an unincorporated association, be transferred to Alaska Federation of Natives, Inc., a nonprofit corporation incorporated under the laws of the state of Alaska. And be it further resolved that the Alaska Federation of Natives be, the same hereby is dissolved, effective on this blank date of October 1972. And I want to make two or three points very clear and ask for a lawyer to explain what that means. I would ask the counsel for the Alaska Federation of Natives, Mr. Ken Bass, to please come up and give a brief explanation on what it would mean to dissolve. In the meantime, I'd like to state that it's my advice from counsel that an association may not dissolve itself when litigation is pending in the courts in the state of Alaska. There are several pieces of litigation pending in the courts in the state of Alaska about this very issue. It is also my understanding that an association may not dissolve itself when it has creditors who have not been paid and who have called their notes, such as Tyonek made a demand on their note as a creditor, that an association may not dissolve without permission of all of those individual creditors. So I want to have the attorney explain to you exactly where his opinion. He is your attorney, and I, as president of this association, will listen to the convention. Mr. Bass.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I make my remarks, I should qualify them by the statement that I am not a member of the Alaska Bar. I'm a member of the bars of the District of Columbia and of Virginia, and have been serving in a capacity of counsel to the Federation and now the Corporation on federal law matters. However, I am qualified to speak on the general law of associations, and I have discussed the matter to some extent with Alaska lawyers, and the opinion I expressed is my own opinion as reflected by what their comments have led me to believe. First, an association really is nothing more than a group of people. It has no independent existence. An association as such cannot make a contract, cannot make a loan, cannot incur a debt. Rather, the people who make up the association can take a contract, incur a loan, incur a debt. An association acts through a delegation, an agency, if you will. It elects officers, it elects board members, it elects people to act on behalf of its members. Those people, the agents of the members, can incur legal obligations for themselves and for the members only through their agencies. What that means is that everything that the association has done in the past is ultimately a responsibility of some individual Alaska Native or group of individual Alaska Natives. It's very hard to say in any specific instance who is responsible for any specific obligation. But as a general rule, the closer that an individual was to a particular act, that is, the more he was personally involved in carrying out that act, the greater his liability for that act. The liability can, however, reach down to individual members of the association to the extent that they participated in its affairs or to the extent they directed its affairs. As to dissolution of an association, the legal effect of a dissolution, which in my opinion can be carried out regardless of outstanding debts, regardless of any outstanding litigation, the legal effect of a dissolution is that the association, the people making up the association, say, we will no longer do anything in the future to incur any obligations as a group. Our agency, if you will, our elected board members, our elected officers, have their agency dissolved. From now on, there will be no more debts. There will be no more obligations on we the membership or we the officers. However, that dissolution can only go as to acts in the future. It cannot absolve the association of its past debts. There are past debts that were incurred by the AFN Association. Until those past debts are paid by somebody, and it doesn't matter who pays them, until they are paid, there will be an obligation outstanding on the association, on its officers, on its directors, on its individual members, depending upon the extent that they were involved in particular acts. And once those debts are paid, the person that pays those debts then stands in the place of the old creditor. And that person can come back against the association unless all of the liabilities of the association and all of its rights have been transferred to that same person. In other words, if the association, in my opinion, transfers all of its rights, its assets, its liabilities to AFN Incorporated, and if AFN Incorporated then pays the outstanding indebtedness, the right of coming back against the association will have been dissolved. But until that debt is paid, that right will be there and nothing can be done to stop it. My opinion in brief is that the association can at this time dissolve itself and cease incurring obligations as to the future. The past obligations that were incurred will continue to be there until they're paid. If they're paid by the person to whom all the assets and liabilities of the corporation of the association are transferred, then that payment will dissolve the outstanding obligations of each individual.
Thank you, Mr. Bass. The chair is going to exercise a little more prerogative here, if you don't mind. I want to make two or three things clear to the convention. The most important thing, in my view, is to see unity amongst the Alaska Native people, but only if they honor their debts and pay their bills. There is $6 million in banks around the country paid to the natives of Alaska, and we promised Tyonek, and we promised Yakima, and we promised the National Bank of Alaska and other creditors that when we got our land claim settlement money, we would pay our bills. The Alaska Federation of Natives Incorporated has not yet organized to the point where they have commitments from all of the 12 regional corporations that have received money under the Act. I feel it's my duty and obligation to fight until the bills are paid. I have no intention of running for office in the Alaska Federation of Natives or the Alaska Federation of Natives Incorporated again, this term or next term, no matter what the structure is. I was your president for 2 years. I want to go out honorably as I came in honorably. And as far as I am concerned individually, I think it's sad that we don't pay our bills and don't honor the leaders that do the work that they're instructed to do under the terms in which they're instructed to do the work. So with that, I'm going to read a prepared statement, and then the convention can proceed. My fellow members of the Alaska Federation of Natives and friends, as the duly elected president of AFN, I have been asked to open this convention, which, because of a technicality in our bylaws, must be called in October. Because last year's convention was recessed from October to December, our membership at large in the villages and out in the bush have been expecting a December convention and have made patient preparations to attend such a convention. This meeting was made necessary by the bylaw requirement, but it is obvious to me that the rank and file of our membership will not be able to attend it this time. Instead, it looks like attendance is going to be limited to a minority group, many of whom have been handpicked and are being transported here at state expense through political influence. Such a meeting obviously is not representative of the native people of Alaska. Such a meeting certainly cannot and must not consider such a far-reaching proposal as the one which has been placed on the agenda without my knowledge or consent as president, namely the proposed dissolution of our organization, the Alaska Federation of Natives, to be replaced apparently by a tightly controlled corporation not responsive to the native people of this state. Accordingly, being satisfied that there is now present a sufficient quorum of the membership at large of AFN to act legally on this or any other matter on the agenda, I do hereby, as president of the association, declare this convention to be in recess until Friday, December 15, 1972, at 10 a.m., to be reconvened at the Wildwood Complex in Kenai. There will be no further official business of the Alaska Federation of Natives conducted in convention until the time and place, until that time and place. The convention is hereby officially recessed as stated, and I thank you.
Point of order. The president cannot recess a meeting or a convention. He does not have the power to recess a convention.
Delegates to the convention, I think at this point you have witnessed the good faith efforts of our people in a convention to come together and with equity and dignity to resolve those matters which are of importance to us. Whenever we have fundamental differences, the well-being of our people takes a second place to the individual differences and a second place to any political maneuvering. It is we, the people, who have the right, the authority, and the power to determine our future and to determine, for that matter, where this convention shall go. No one, either a board or an individual, has such authority or such power over you that unilaterally and without your participation, your rights to be heard and to dispose of matters justly before you can be removed. If it is the wish of this convention, I would note and I would for the record state, in my view, the recess is not a legal recess. It exceeds the powers of the individual who called for it. I would ask that the first vice president of the association come forward. We would ask further that you remain here with us. We have business to conduct, and with your permission, I shall ask for about a 5-minute recess. Thank you. Would the vice president of the Alaska Federation of Natives please come forward for purposes of assuming the chair?
Let's call this meeting into order, this convention into order, please. Before we proceed, I would like to call on our parliamentarian to make a decision for us, rather to explain to us what the proper procedures are for in these kinds of situations. First question will be is whether the chairman has a right to discontinue a convention.
So the basic question is, can the chairman recess a convention, and he does not have authority. Once a convention is convened, you as the delegates have the authority to either adjourn or recess. The chairman himself does not have that authority. The Constitution authorizes you to act in the absence of the president.
In the absence of the president, the chair will then rule that the convention will proceed.
Convention is in session. The first vice president asked if I would continue to remain in the chair, since we do have a question and a motion before the body now. And the motion is to adopt the resolution made by John Sackett. Alex. We will check the, go back and check the minutes to make sure that everything is in order. And while the secretary is checking, we will have a 5-minute recess. If there's no further discussion, secretary will call the roll on the question to adopt the resolution.
Clinton Haida, A and B, John Barbridge.
Yes on the motion.
AVCP, Philip Guy. Kodiak, Hank Eaton.
Yes.
Bristol Bay, Harvey Samuelson.
Yes.
Kenai, George Miller. Copper River, Herb Smeltzer.
Yes.
Noam, Martin Olson.
Yes.
Unel, Cleet, Frank Dagnan. Tana, Chief, John Sackett.
Yes.
Aleut League, Mike Swetsoff.
Stay.
Kotzebue, Robert Newland.
Yes. Call back to order. Secretary will read the totals.
...470 yes, 23 and a half absent, 19 sustained, and 33 no.
Convention resolution number 72-1 is passed, the last resolution of the Association, the Alaska Federation of Natives. Since there's no longer the Alaska Federation of Natives, I cannot adjourn it, so I'll just turn it over to Willie Hensley, president of AFN Incorporated. Thank you.
Well, change is not always very easy. However, I think we have a very large challenge ahead of us. In fact, it seems to me like we're at the stage we were about 6 years ago when we were trying to define the kind of organization we wanted to work with.
Mr. Chairman, with this new AFN Incorporated, who are the people that are taking part in this fracas? Is it 12 people that are elected here that just took over?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's common knowledge that the representatives on the board of directors of AFN Inc. are selected by each of their regions. They are not self-appointed people.
Mr. Chairman, is this a board meeting or is it a membership meeting?
This is a meeting.
The structure of the of this body.
The structure will be created during this meeting. As a matter of fact, it's my feeling that under our previous structure, it was virtually impossible to take care of the problems that we have. It was impossible to try to define a means of paying off the debt that everyone is so interested in. And it is these kinds of objectives that we have in mind. We have a greater objective, really, of trying to preserve and protect the Alaska Native Land Claim Settlement, and we have to try to define a structure that will allow us to do that.
Mr. Chairman, why don't you put it plainly? This was mainly a power struggle amongst our people, amongst the leadership, not merely to pay off the debt.
Mr. Chairman, I move for the recess until tomorrow.
Second.
There's a motion for a recess and a second. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We'll see you at 9:30 in the morning.